We will now call upon the sponsor of our second bill, which is LD 1343, an act to protect the reproductive freedom of Maine people by preempting the field of abortion regulation. This bill will be presented by Representative Laura Supica. Welcome, Representative.
Just want to thank the committee today for their work and their patience. Senator Carney, Representative Moonen, and members of the Committee on Judiciary, I am Representative Laura Supica, and I am honored to represent part of Bangor in the Maine legislature. Today, I present to you LD 1343, an act to protect the reproductive freedom of Maine people by preempting the field of abortion regulations. Recently, a spate of local ordinances have cropped up across the country seeking to institute an outright ban or to significantly restrict abortion access on the municipal level. The strategy employed by organizations like Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn, which was responsible for the local ordinance that eventually led to the Texas abortion ban, is not new. You may remember that the Texas ordinance was designed to avoid legal challenges by giving private citizens the right to sue abortion providers rather than relying on government officials to enforce the abortion ban. This made it financially difficult for providers to keep operating because of the onslaught of suits and anti-abortion activists. With the passage of Dobbs and the overturning of nearly 50 years of federal protection for the right to abortion, groups like this have become emboldened and are aggressively working to influence town and city councils across the country with similar measures. Communities in Colorado, Minnesota, New Mexico, and Delaware have already seen these types of local ordinances introduced. In many instances, the town councils are voting the measures down, but not in all, and we don't want to take that chance here. LD 1343 would act as an assurance that politically motivated out-of-state interests can't come to our state and undermine the very basic freedoms that all Mainers enjoy, a right to self-determination and bodily autonomy. To help guard against local abortion bans, the bill would clarify that the state law about abortion preempts local efforts to regulate or restrict abortion rights and access. If municipalities were to start banning abortions, restricting distribution of medically necessary medication, making it more difficult for clinics to operate, or any number of other tactics, it would significantly strain clinics that are already seeing a greater demand than they can meet for care. Abortion is healthcare, and it is safe and legal in Maine, and we cannot be in the business of making healthcare unsafe or making it harder to access. Mainers deserve better than that. When the stakes are so high, we owe it to our communities to shore up this most fundamental right, and LD 1343 will do just that. And I will say that I went back and forth about whether I would share this here today because I'm very nervous. When I was 18, I had an abortion. I think I found out around the 6-week mark, and shortly after that, I had an abortion, and it wasn't because I was raped or from any sort of trauma. It was a decision that I made, and it was the right decision for me. I don't have shame about the abortion, but I'm still afraid to talk about it openly because of the stigma that people have, because I'm afraid that people will judge me for it. I never thought that Roe v. Wade would be overturned. I think I took a lot of those rights for granted. A lot of my foremothers fought really hard for that. And in my time as a, you know, bartender and a waitress, you know, you serve a lot of people that come through those doors. I've held a lot of hands and hugged a lot of people who've had to get abortions. And they're your teachers, they're nurses, they're the people that work at the gas station, they're your neighbors, they're your friends. A lot of people, there's multiple people in this room, I can tell you right now, maybe even some people at this horseshoe that have had an abortion. It's a very widespread procedure. And it's one that I really want to preserve for anyone in the state, no matter where they live. You know, we talk about trying to fly to Colorado. It's hard for people just to get from the county to Bangor. So thank you for your time. And I'm happy to answer any questions. And if I don't have any of those questions for you, I'm happy to get them for you by the work session.
Thank you, Representative Supica, for presenting your bill today. Senator Brakey, you may proceed with a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good to see you, Representative. And I do appreciate both you sharing your story and also the reminder that we should approach everyone on these difficult questions with compassion. My question, as far as the impetus for this legislation, I appreciate you pointing to things that have taken place in other states. Are we particularly, but I'm a little unclear on like what specifically kind of the municipal actions have been seen across the country that this is seeking to respond to. Are we talking like specifically about like municipal ordinances to ban abortion clinics within municipal borders? Is that primarily what we're talking about? Or there have been other sorts of things? I saw you reference restricting distribution of medically necessary medications. Could you just highlight that a little bit more? What kind of municipal efforts are we talking about preempting?
Absolutely. And for the work session, I will see if I can get you a list of more specific examples across state, get that emailed to you all so that you can look into that as well. Any instance where anybody will try to ban or any instances where a municipality or community will try to ban the procedure or the sale of any medication or access to it or any way that you can think of. It's kind of hard trying to come up with these specific ideas because I never thought that I would be here standing here having this discussion with you all. And then here we are, Roe v. Wade is overturned. So I will get you a more concrete list of what is happening across the state and to kind of look at what it is that we're trying to preempt here.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Other questions, committee members? Representative Andrews?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's nice to see you outside of VLA.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. So if like a municipality were to ban somebody's healthcare procedure, couldn't an individual sue the town and kind of settle that once and for all? Another one of us are lawyers. Maybe that's a question for the work session.
Yeah, I would say let's ask a lawyer and then let me know too so I can give folks advice when they come into the bar.
Representative Hagan.
Thank you very much. And yeah, thank you. This bill is maybe the shortest bill I think I've ever read.
You're welcome.
I'm a teacher. I'm worried about a lot of things. Would this open the way for an underage person to get an abortion without parental approval? Or am I way overthinking this?
I don't want to say that you're overthinking that. But maybe. Yeah.
Thank you.
Other questions, committee members? Seeing none, thank you very much.
I just wanted to thank you all for your time today and wish you luck.
Thank you, Representative. All right, at this time, we will begin to hear from members of the public who wish to speak on any of the three bills that are before us today. And so with that, we will first hear from those who wish to speak in support of the legislation. And I understand that group one is here in the committee room with us. And would the first person like to step forward?
Good afternoon. Senator Carney, Representative Mooney, and members of Mooney and the representatives of the Judiciary Committee. My name's Evelyn Keltiga. I reside in Winthrop, Maine. I'm a family nurse practitioner and a senior vice president of clinical service at Maine Family Planning, where we provide comprehensive sexual and reproductive health care, including abortion care. I'm testifying in strong support of LD 1619, which sensibly updates Maine's Reproductive Privacy Act to align with science and Maine values. With LD 1619, we have the opportunity to strengthen access to abortion in Maine and reinforce the line of defense, not only to do the important updates, protects and expands abortion access to all Mainers, but it is based on evidence, medical standards, and what's best for patients seeking care. What we have to do is lead with compassion and affirm the vital relationship between a patient and providers. We must entrust qualified medical professionals to provide necessary and appropriate care throughout pregnancy according to their best judgment. LD 1619 helps protect patients' dignity and well-being. This bill also will decriminalize, or I just wanted to add, sorry, I skipped over somebody trying to cut it all down. What I also wanted to say is that reinforcing that this is a rare event, as you heard, less than 1% of the nation and Mainers seek this kind of care. It is often with individual and harrowing cases that are a unique story, as emphasized earlier. I also want to add that this bill will decriminalize abortion, the threat of criminal penalties strikes fear in patients and providers, exasperating deep-seated stigma, eroding trust in the medical office. We are grateful this bill abolishes this penalty. Lastly, we support Maine's updating abortion reporting requirements to strengthen privacy protections. This bill, this reporting requirement outlined in LD 1619 is more appropriate public health data collection. For these reasons, on behalf of Maine Family Planning, I urge you to support this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Committee members, are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you. Could Megan Sway please step up next?
Madam Chair, can we just get the, I failed to catch that last person's last name. The testimony's been submitted. She has it in here, okay, thank you.
Senator Carney, Representative Moonen, distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Judiciary, good afternoon. My name is Megan Sway, and I'm the Policy Director at the ACLU of Maine. On behalf of our members, we support all three of these bills, but today I'm going to speak specifically to LD 1619. In the aftermath of Dobbs, abortion is banned in 12 states, and 12 more states are attempting to enact a ban or extreme restrictions. In addition to making this essential healthcare inaccessible to more than one in three people who need it, states like Idaho, Louisiana, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Texas have gone even farther, criminalizing abortion. This crackdown on our fundamental rights means that, although abortion was already difficult to access in many parts of the country before last year, the number of people who need abortions later in pregnancy will dramatically increase as people cannot get the health care they need in their home states. We support striking from the state statute crimes associated with providing or assisting in the provision of certain abortions. A Class C crime for an unlicensed person to perform an abortion or for a person to assist an unlicensed person to perform an abortion, and a Class D crime for performing an abortion after viability when it was not necessary for the preservation of life or health of the pregnant person. These laws were created in part in an attempt to deter unlicensed people from performing unsafe abortions. However, it is already a crime to practice medicine or perform an abortion without a medical license. And now that medication abortion is vastly more common than surgical abortion, the abortion-related crimes in our statutes are outdated and out of keeping with science. You will also hear that because medical professionals, these crimes are on the book, it chills medical professionals from providing abortions after viability when there is a health and safety concern for the mother. And for that reason, it is chilling the healthcare that is available to Mainers. I see I have 8 seconds left. I will defer my time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Committee members, any questions? Senator Brakey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good to see you, Ms. Way. I appreciate hearing from the ACLU. I know that your organization very much focused on rights. I have a question about rights. A healthy unborn baby, fully viable, capable of living outside the womb, do they have any rights that are worth considering in this question? And if so, at what point should the state be interested in protecting those rights? And if not, when should we recognize human rights as beginning? And when should, at what age should the state protect those rights?
That was multiple questions in one. Can you, I did not follow, but I will take notes this time.
Right. So a healthy unborn baby, fully viable, capable of living outside the womb, do they have any rights that we should be considering from the perspective of the ACLU? Any rights that we should be considering in this question? If they do have rights, should the state be interested in protecting those rights? If not, when would we say that, at what age would we say that human rights begin and that the state should protect those rights?
So Maine has repeatedly, the Maine legislature and Maine people have repeatedly rejected fetal personhood bills. And so I think the premise of your question is shown by the ways in which the legislators and the people of Maine have repeatedly rejected that there is such a thing as fetal personhood. Once a baby is born, then they have rights, but fetal personhood is something the legislature has rejected.
Committee members, are there any additional questions? Representative Andrews.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for being here. I have a question on 776, and I figured ACLU would be a good group to ask.
Okay.
That bill is a resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Maine to establish the right to bodily autonomy. My question is, with 776, does the scope of bodily autonomy allow a person to opt out of a vaccine mandate without penalty?
So the right to bodily autonomy then goes through an factor analysis. So it is possible that it would, but it is possible also that it would not. And that would be a decision, a legal decision through various legal factors.
Okay, so you're saying that bodily autonomy is not absolute?
Correct. Like all rights. Thanks.
Representative Hagan.
Thank you very
much. And thank you. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
I guess I've got like tunnel vision. I'm concerned or curious. Would the ACL, would your group, with the under 18, no parental, permission? Would a lady be able to have an abortion legally without parental permission underage?
So there's a statute in place
that
determines what people under the age of 18 who can obtain an abortion. So this legislation in my mind would not change that.
Would not change.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So from the position of the ACLU, what would be, with the bill as written, what would be your safety concerns for it? The safety of the mother?
Because
someone can't magically become unpregnant. So there, when an
I
abortion
think you've
takes
asked
place,
the question,
when an abortion
Henderson.
Takes place, there still has to be either a delivery of the child. A delivery still takes place after viability. So what would be your concerns for the safety of the mother, emotionally, mentally, and physically?
The bill as written maintains the viability framework and says that an abortion may not be obtained after viability unless it's in the medical judgment of a professional. And so my concerns would be with whatever that doctor is discussing with the patient, whatever the doctor is seeing, that would be the issue. I can't tell you right now what that would be, because that is a medical decision that's happening in the moment.
So it's taking...
Representative Henderson, I think you've asked your question. Is there any other committee member who has a question?
So I do want to object to the one question rule. And again, I don't want to keep coming back to this. We as a committee don't have intentions of asking questions of every single person that's coming before us. But we have members from advocacy groups that are stepping before us that get taxpayer money. They're funded. Well, even if they don't, they're before us consistently asking us to pass certain legislation. And by limiting, we're all elected officials here, limiting us to one question a piece is wildly inappropriate. We have no intention of asking questions to 1,500 people that are here, but these are our advocacy groups. These are people that are coming forward that have been before us before. It is inappropriate to limit us to one question a piece.
So I would like to make a suggestion, which is that very frequently, Megan Sway from the Maine branch of the American Civil Liberties Union is here for our work sessions. And it seems to me like a lot of the questions are questions that could also be addressed at the work session. My concern is on behalf of all of the people who are waiting to speak both for and against this legislation. And I feel that we are using up the time that should be focused on hearing from them, asking questions of people who will be here for the work session. And that is my concern. It is totally out of respect for the public. And I just would ask that all of you committee members join in respecting the public who is here to speak with us today.
And I would like to respond to that. I do have respect for the public that's here. And even more than the respect for the public that's here and is wishing to speak, I have respect for the entire state of Maine. And we have a piece of legislation in front of us that really needs to be carefully considered. And asking us to wait to get our questions answered until the day that we're voting on it, that doesn't seem appropriate either. And I know that we have to run a fair committee here and that you have to run the committee in a way that keeps things moving along. But to limit legislators, I mean, if every single one of us were to ask one question apiece, that would be 13 questions per person that was testifying. To say that we're only allowed one question apiece and wait for the answers for those questions to be at the work session, that really isn't going to be very helpful.
Okay, a couple of points. One is that we frequently do wait for information at the work session when it cannot be answered on the fly during a committee hearing. And secondly, again, I just want to say that today is about hearing from the public. It is a public hearing. It is not an opportunity for committee members to ask very long, extended, multiple piece questions of those who are here to testify who could be present at the work session to provide that information should committee members need to know that information in order to cast their votes on this bill. And with that, going to end our dialogue.
So
I'm going to rule you out of order and ask that you accept the ruling that I've made. And you have a simple question that you want to ask somebody, any member of the public. Committee members are permitted to do that, but an extended dialogue of multiple choice, multiple layers of questioning is not appropriate at this time. Again, because we are waiting to hear from all of the members of the public who have taken time out of their work days and their lives to be with us today. And so with that, we will hear from the next person, and I believe it's Attorney General Fry. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator Carney, Representative Moonen, members of the Joint Standing Committee on the Judiciary. My name is Aaron Fry, and I have the privilege of serving as Maine's Attorney General. My office, as you may know, has supported numerous efforts on the national level in support of reproductive rights, and I'm here today to provide support for these state efforts through LD 1343 and LD 1619, two bills that would solidify Maine's longstanding tradition of valuing reproductive freedom and autonomy. Across the nation, opponents of abortion have been using every avenue available to limit access to abortion. Anti-abortion groups have had some success in the Supreme Court already with Dobbs, which upended a half a century, that's 50 years of precedent, and radically changed the landscape for how patients and healthcare providers are providing reproductive care or receiving reproductive care. And advocates have turned to chipping away now at patients' right at the municipal government level. Reproductive freedom is far too critical an issue to be decided at the local level. Any government that's coming between a patient and their provider regarding a personal medical decision is inappropriate. So as a state, I'm urging that this committee take away that tool from anti-abortion advocates who would use local government to promote their personal philosophical agendas. All of this upheaval nationally has placed an extreme pressure on providers of abortion care. Providers of abortion care who have already faced threats and abuse to their services will now face additional threats of professional sanctions, licensure revocations, and criminal prosecutions. Increasingly, anti-abortion states are attempting to take extraterritorial jurisdiction, for example, Texas taking jurisdiction over Maine, to penalize people who are seeking or providing abortion care in states like Maine. It's imperative that we clarify that our laws as to whether and when to have an abortion is exclusively a decision between a provider and an individual. And removing references to abortion in the criminal code would treat this like we treat every other crime against individuals. So I thank the governor. I thank the sponsors of these bills. I will be available for the work session. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee members, other questions for Attorney General Fry? Representative Hagan.
Thank you. Very much, Madam Chair. Thank you. Nice to see you again. I had a recurring question. I've been redundant, Dave, today. So I wanted to check with you under the law, under the new law of any one of these three, could a very physically healthy woman with a healthy, viable baby inside, very viable, could easily live outside the womb, would they be permitted under the law to go ahead and have an abortion?
Thank you, Representative. I will concur with what has come from the sponsor of 1619, came from the governor's representative. The decision about what a woman does with her body is a decision between that woman and her medical provider. And so the extent to which there's a decision that has to be made about how the woman's reproductive choices are exercised, that's between the doctor and the patient.
Thank you, Representative Hagan. I think we have other questions from committee members. Senator Brakey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. See you, Mr. Attorney General. My question is about just preemption in general. And I know we have preemptions in place for a wide variety of things. Some things we preempt, some things we don't. I know firearm laws, for example, we have state preemption on. And so my question is there any standard you think that we should kind of look through in determining what things are appropriate to have preemptions on and what things are not? Is there any like consistent legal standard that we might look at for considering these questions?
Thank you, Senator. I don't know that I have a standard by which the state will decide on what issue it's required to take preemption over local municipalities or counties for making the decision. As you've indicated, there have been some efforts already we've seen in Maine to take for local municipalities and counties to take positions as to what should be happening there that may be in contradiction to what the state might provide. What I will offer with respect to 1343 is we already have evidence that there are efforts underway for national groups to make this a local issue. And that's happening across the country. I have no reason to believe that Maine will not be attractive for that purpose as well, as Maine has already seen efforts of local municipalities and counties to take its own stand on what should happen within in their borders. This issue is important enough where it really should be a state decision to be clear about what is appropriate in the state. And so to the extent that there's a governmental entity that's acting here, this isn't offering a blanket standard, but what it is suggesting is that when you have an issue like this that is getting a lot of attention, when you have evidence that preemption or that local political subdivisions are already taking action across the country, Maine municipalities and counties have already demonstrated their willingness to take their own positions on things that might interfere with this choice between a patient and their provider. I'm suggesting that that evidence supports the consideration and passage of 1343. So it's not a full standard, but that's the criteria that I guess I'm evaluating in my decision.
Committee members, any additional questions? Representative Andrews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Attorney General, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Just in the statute, I'm curious if you think it might have been an easier fix if Section 2.1 policy, if we had kept preserve the life or health of the mother and simply added or to terminate a lethal anomaly after that. So I think it's a little more specific than the open-ended in the professional judgment, which I think gives people worry. So I'm just, you're the top legal guy in the state, so I'm curious as to your opinion.
Yes, thank you, Representative. So I guess here's what I offer. First, I am the top legal representative, not the top medical representative, right? And so the extent to which I represent the government here, I don't know that I'm going to be in the best position to determine what is necessary in the professional judgment of a physician as to what is the appropriate level of care or attention for their patient. And the extent to which there are an innumerable number of medical procedures, medical decisions, whether it be what, you know, gallbladder being removed, a amputation of a limb, what medication to take. These are all decisions that we trust to a profession that's trained to work with a patient on what they need. And so what I understand Section 2 to be doing is recognizing that that medical decision of the extent to which a woman is engaging in her right to engage in reproductive freedom, that decision as to what is medically appropriate is going to be trusted to the profession that deals with medicine. So that's a long way of getting to, this is not a standard that is going to be uncomfortable for the medical profession. This is one of the more organized professions. And so there's going to be a significant transparency to how that's put into place. I am hopeful that this committee is going to hear from medical professionals as part of this, that might provide a better sense as to how we evaluate this. But from the government standpoint, I think it gets really hard to suggest that the government's lawyer is ever going to be in the best position to tell a doctor or a patient how it is that they should manage their relationship for the care that that patient is receiving. So I guess in terms of my position, this law would be consistent with how it is that we trust patients and doctors to engage in that care. We have licensing boards that hold providers accountable and standards that are clear because of how organized the medical profession is as to what sort of care a patient should get. And by the way, that's going to end up being litigated, right, in terms of whether or not the professional judgment is accurate. So those are where the protections are going to be. It's not going to be coming from the state's chief legal officer.
Okay, my question was more based on language than medical practice, but I get what you're saying.
I appreciate it.
Other questions, committee members? Representative Henderson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Attorney General Fry, for being here today. Do you think that there should be any reasonable restrictions on abortion, or is this bill with no legal guardrails appropriate?
What I believe is that the place for which that decision to be made about how a woman exercises her reproductive choices is best trusted to the woman in consultation with a medical professional. And so the extent to which there are guardrails here, right? So what Section 2 continues to do is provide the framework that has been described from the sponsor, from the governor's office, from the ACLU. You've heard that there continues to be a viability, post-viability framework. And there continues to be articulated a standard by which that medical decision and medical advice will be made. So the extent to which there are guardrails in place, this is the extent to which there's a necessary in the professional judgment of a physician, those are guardrails that's trusting the medical profession to engage in appropriate medical care of their patient, with the patient receiving advice as to how to best exercise her reproductive choices. So I think there are guardrails, that those guardrails are trusted to the profession that deals with the medical procedure that an abortion is.
And what legal protections does that child have?
This is a woman making a decision about what to do with her body, and what's going on with her body. There isn't a live child that's out at this point that this decision is concerned with.
Committee members, any additional questions for the Attorney General at this time? Seeing none, thank you, Attorney General.
Thank you.
Would Alex Carter please step forward? Would Betsy Sweet please step forward? Oh, are you out? I'm sorry.
I'm Ann Fowler.
Okay, you may go ahead.
Thank you. Senator Carney, Representative Mooney, and members of the committee. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God, says the prophet Amos of Hebrew scripture. Good morning. I'm Ann Fowler. I'm a native Mainer and I'm an Episcopal priest. Advocating for women's health and reproductive freedom has been my calling for 40 years. I have served as a chaplain and counselor to many women making decisions about whether to have an abortion. Most of them already have children. Many of them are poor. Some of them are living in shelters or rehab facilities. They all need safe, affordable health care. And that's what abortion is, health care. Yesterday, in churches across the country, Christians heard Jesus say, "I came that you might have life, abundant life." Jesus did not come to say that women and doctors might live in fear of violence or jail. Jesus did not mean have many children. He did not mean only women of means or only women who live in certain geographical areas should have abundant life. He meant everyone. He meant seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God, and you will have abundant life. Justice, kindness, and humility. On the basis of those ideas, I urge you to pass LD 1619 and LD 1343. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee members, are there questions for Ann Fowler? Senator Brakey, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for being here. And asking you as a, you said, a Episcopal priest, from a moral perspective and an ethical perspective, a baby one day before a baby is born and a baby one day after the baby is born, do you see any moral or ethical distinction between, you know, the baby's status and the baby's moral standing and the baby's rights between a day before and a day after birth?
I measure value and rights on the basis of potential versus actuality. So a woman, a pregnant woman, has lived her life up to a certain point, and all of the experiences, the beliefs that she has are to some degree formed, and that is not true of an unborn fetus. I think that's, I think the other question, the other part of your question that I object to is that the chance of somebody having an abortion on the last day of her pregnancy is so vanishingly rare, as people have said before, that it really doesn't merit consideration.
Other questions, committee members? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Betsy Sweet up.
Hi there. Thank you for recognizing
me. Did you have a question?
Yes, for the chairs. I was thinking about the dialogue that you had with Representative Henderson over the last several minutes, and I was hoping to put a bug in the chair's ears. You do have leeway to make rules and run a good ship and whatnot. But I think it is critically important for elected officials to be able to ask follow-up questions of, you know, constitutional officers and whatnot. So I just thought I would express, I understand asking 10 questions or, you know, a lot, but a follow-up I think would be appropriate. And that's all I have.
Thank you for that suggestion. Betsy Sweet, could you step forward, please?
Good afternoon, Senator Carney, Representative Moonen, and the good members of the Joint Standing Committee on Judiciary. My name is Betsy Sweet, and I'm here today representing Maine Family Planning in support of LD 1343. Maine Family Planning provides full-scope sexual and reproductive health care at 18 locations throughout the state, and provides pass-through funding for family planning services to 43 sub-grantees, including federally qualified health centers and school-based health centers. Our directly operated clinic sites are Augusta, Bangor, Belfast, Calais, Damariscotta, Dexter, Ellsworth, Farmington, Fort Kent, Holton, Lewiston, Machias, Norway, Presque Isle, Rumford, Skowhegan, Thomaston, and Waterville, truly statewide. Full scope and sexual reproductive health care includes access to abortion care. This fact is agreed upon by all major medical associations around the globe. The reasons that people need access to abortion care are personal and myriad. The United States is one of only four countries, along with Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Poland, that has rolled back abortion rights since 1994. And since last year's U.S. Supreme Court ruling in Dobbs, states around the country are banning and severely restricting access to abortion, despite broad public support for abortion based on values of privacy and healthcare and patient autonomy in medical decisions. One cannot imagine a town declaring itself a place where one could not obtain a tonsillectomy, an ACL repair, or a vasectomy. But one tactic of anti-abortion extremists is to fight to pass local ordinances declaring towns abortion-free. We cannot allow these socially corrosive tactics to take hold in Maine. We are a state with a strong streak for independence, liberty, and privacy, and preempting the field of abortion and abortion regulation ensures that all Mainers will continue to have equal access to full-scope sexual and reproductive health care wherever they live. Our patients in Fort Kent deserve the same access to health care as our patients in Bangor and Lewiston. Voters in Maine have shown election after election they are in favor of safe, legal, accessible abortion. Our state laws reflect that truth, and any effort on part of towns and municipalities to enact anti-abortion ordinances would frustrate state
law. Excuse me, your time is up.
Setting the stage for state and local conflict.
Committee members, are there any questions? Representative Andrews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I missed the beginning. Are you testifying as an individual or on behalf
of? No, on behalf of Maine Family Planning. Yeah.
Other questions, committee members? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Could Laura Harper please step forward?